once I get the signal, we can start this meeting.
Chair Martin, AGP is recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you very much, Patrick. Good evening, everybody. It is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April 20th, and I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Planning Commission for the City of Arroyo Grande. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Martin.
Here.
Vice Chair Shiro is absent tonight. Commissioner Guthrie.
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla.
Here.
And Commissioner Sage.
Here.
Very good. Let's all stand for the flag, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. We have a light agenda here tonight, but is there any desire to review the agenda or the order of any of the items on the agenda by my fellow commissioner? Being head shaking and no nodding, we will move on. Staff, I'm wondering, were there any additional community comments? I know that I received an additional email of 3:34 o'clock this afternoon. I'm wondering if there's any additional comments or suggestions we should be hearing about.
Chair Martin, would you like to open it to the public?
Very good. Thank you. Patrick is keeping me on task here. The community comment period is going to be opened up now. And this period is an invitation to members of the community to present any issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And members of the public may provide public comment remotely by joining the Zoom meeting, utilizing one of the methods, you know, provided on the agenda. Is there anybody in the public at this point that would like to make any kind of comment or suggestion?
If anyone would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand button. We do have one member of the public that had their hand raised previously. I will allow them to speak.
Okay.
Sprint Aquatics, please unmute yourself.
Okay. Hi, my name is Laurel Runnels Moss, and I'm contacting you on behalf of my mother, Edith Runnels. She's 82 years old and a widow, and representing Tom Runnels Homestead Farms. I was just notified on Friday, April 16th, regarding the draft circulation element. And my mom was never notified of the project that is being completed right now, that is connecting Castillo del Mar to Valley Road. Some of our issues are the project with the drainage, where is it going? We own the farmland around that area that will be directly affected. And then also another concern is wanting to know the tie-in from Castillo del Mar to Fair Oaks Avenue going through our farmland, which would directly affect our well that provides the water to our entire family's farming operation. Farming has been in, that farmland has been in the Runnels family for over 100 years. So, and then another comment I have is the negative impact to the Fair Oaks Avenue, because it would disrupt the traffic flow. There's already a way to get to Fair Oaks Avenue by Valley Road, and not impacting our farmland that is proposed in the draft circulation element, which we were never contacted with on any of these projects. And then the other thing was where Castillo del Mar comes out at Valley Road. That's just south of the blind curve that is right next to the high school, which is a public safety issue. And there's just, if anybody's familiar with Valley Road, there's a lot of traffic, and you know, right next to the high school, and the speeds and everything that people do, that just would not, that just doesn't make sense. I would propose a question, who signed off on this project? And, you know, how is this going to go forward?
Ms. Reynolds-Ross, thank you very much for your comment. The comments that you made concerning the circulation element, we are addressing tonight, and will be addressed and handled a little bit later in this meeting. The other comments that you have concerning the road work on Castillo del Mar and Valley Road is something I encourage you to contact staff at the city on. This is an older project that has been approved for a number of years, to my knowledge, and at this point, it's finally just under construction. I can't make any other comments other than that, but I encourage you to go to the city because that is a project that has been established and in line and in the pipeline for a number of years. Thank you for your comments tonight.
Chair Martin, yes. Chair Martin, there was no additional comments.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the community comments at this point in time. Now I'll get back to staff. Are there any other written communications that we should be hearing about before we proceed with the remainder of the agenda?
Chair Martin, no further public comment was received aside from the supplemental memo that you mentioned.
Very good. Okay. At this point, we will move on to item 7, the consent agenda. 7A is the consideration of the approval of minutes. And item 7B is consideration of a time extension for the conditional use permit. Can I get a motion to approve these two consent agenda items?
So moved.
Second. Jim.
Very good. Thank you. Jim, can we have a roll call vote on this, please?
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage? Commissioner Sage?
And you need to unmute your window.
And then Chair Martin?
Yes. The consent agenda items have been approved 4-0. We do not have a public hearing item here tonight. We have a single non-public hearing item on the agenda. It's a consideration of project status update regarding the circulation element update for the general plan amendment for general plan amendment 20-001. I'm expecting to see a staff report and update on this item. Mr. Fitzroy, good evening.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. Rob Fitzroy here, the community development director. So I just wanted to start off by just recapping a couple of things just for the commission's and the public's benefit as well of where we sort of been along this road with the circulation element and the work that's gone in and what some of the bigger picture next steps are before we delve into some of the deeper details. But first, before I do that, I did just want to introduce our team. So a lot of work has gone into this project. It was initiated in 2019, and it's a lot of folks from the department as well as our consultant team have been really helped carrying this thing forward. And our primary project manager on this and lead has been Robin Dickerson, our city engineer. We've also had assistance from GHD Traffic Consulting, and we have Todd Tregenza with us as well, and Rosanna Southern. And we also have from our team as part of this whole effort in the circulation element update, we are required to comply with the California Environmental Quality Act, and we've prepared a mitigated negative declaration that we'll be talking a little bit more about later as well. But we have our consultant on the line today too, who has helped prepare that. And that is named Jacqueline here you see on the screen from SWCA, who's helped us with the MND as well. So with that said, I did just want to recap just a little bit about where we've been and what the goals are for tonight. So like I mentioned, this was launched in 2019. We entered into a services agreement with GHG, our traffic consultant, as well as SWCA to help with our MND. We've been to the Planning Commission previously on this item a couple of times. In 2020, we held a regularly scheduled meeting. We received some initial feedback from the commission, as well as the public during a study session. From November 2020 to February 2021, we had an online interactive map program via social pinpoint that allowed for public comment. We received a number of comments during this period from the community. Actually close to, I think about 75 comments were received using that tool, as well as roughly 20 comments elsewhere from the community during that timeline. So we then went back and revised the draft accordingly and prepared the draft. Most recently, really in what we're discussing today is the culmination of a lot of the comments, initial feedback that we received, as well as culmination of comments from both the commission as well as the public. And we're presenting today what is we consider a final iteration of the circulation element. And an important note about today and is that the mitigated negative declaration was released just yesterday, and that'll be made available for 30 days. And so any member of the public has the opportunity to provide a written comment specifically on the MND and the environmental impact analysis that was prepared as a result of the circulation element. So that will run for 30 days, and that'll conclude on May 19th. So for any members of the public tuned in and listening, there's about 30 days to provide any comments on the MND. That is readily available both in the packet that was made public tonight for tonight's Planning Commission agenda item, but as well as on the city's website. So just a couple more points on next steps in the process. So again, tonight is a recap, but also an unveiling of one of our final iterations of the circulation element to show what progress we have made. But it is more of a discussion tonight. It's to receive and allow the commission as well as the public to get an overview of what has changed and what has gone into it. There is no action formally being taken on the circulation element. On June 8th, we'll be returning once the MND comment period has closed in May. We'll be returning on June 8th for a final recommendation, looking for a final recommendation from the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the City Council. And subsequent to that meeting on June 8th, we're targeting, as it is now, June 22nd to bring the final circulation element and MND to the City Council for final adoption. So with all that said, I just, thanks for listening. I did wanna talk a little bit about our team for tonight. So like I mentioned, we have Robin Dickerson, our city engineer, but giving the presentation tonight will be our traffic consultant, Todd Tregenza, and he'll be running that through. But any questions you may have post presentation, either can be fielded to myself, to Robin, and we can pull in Todd or our environmental consultant who is on as well to answer any environmental impact related questions. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Todd to initiate the presentation.
Thank you, Rob. Can everyone hear me okay? All right, great. Thank you, Chair, Commissioners, for having me tonight to present this. It's quite a pleasure to be able to present this. It has been a study that's been underway for some time. I am buying time as I try to share my screen here. One second. There we go. Okay. Can everyone see my screen? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Great pleasure to present a culmination of a long, long ongoing effort here. This is really, in a way, culmination of several years of work that has kind of started up and never quite got through the finish line. We started again in earnest, as Rob mentioned, in 2019, but this work has been in some form or fashion underway for quite a bit longer than that even. And it's just really awesome. Can't think of a better word to see it it coming towards the finishing line. And I think this is a document we can all be really proud of. I'm going to give a really brief overview of what the circulation element is, why we're updating it, where we are in the process, the public comments we've received. And really, it was quite a bit of engagement, really happy with that outcome. I'll discuss that in a little bit. I'll give a brief overview from our perspective, next steps, big picture within our contract, what we're hoping to close out before the end of the fiscal year, kind of in addition to that CEQA process that Rob went over. And then, yeah, we'll break it up for questions. And again, my presentation today is going to provide a relatively high level overview. The MND that was circulated yesterday has more detail than what I'm about to present. So this is not intended to supplement a thorough review of that document either. Okay, let's see. So what is the circulation element and what is this update? Well, it's really the city's overarching plan for transportation. And this is a document that really hasn't been addressed since 2001. The last kind of major update to the city's transportation planning framework was the 2012 Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan. in fact, I think it was a Bicycle and Trail Master Plan, if I'm not mistaken. And then recently there's been an influx. There's a safety plan that's ongoing. In fact, it may be in draft form. I'm not sure exactly what the process status is of that. But the local roadway safety plan, systemic safety analysis report, and the circulation element. So all of a sudden there's an influx of transportation planning ongoing, and it's really exciting. I think there's been a lot of momentum in this effort, and we're hoping to carry that forward into some really important updates beyond this plan, which I know there's a lot of excitement in the community about active transportation, and that 2012 plan is dated on many fronts. And so that is one of the policies we included in the CERC element to put that on the radar and get that updated as well. So without further ado, I'll keep going. So what does the circulation element do? Well, beyond being the overarching vision, it sets policies, and some of them are very specific. Some of them are guiding, and they request that additional study be taken on X, Y, or Z subject. Some of them are more broad brushed, and some of them are quite detailed. A lot of them are a call to action for something to be formally updated or adopted beyond the actual circulation element. Some examples of that might be the engineering standards or the transportation impact analysis guidelines. And I'm sure there's more that I'm forgetting. The plan must be correlated to the land use element. So really the nexus, if I'm to use that term, the nexus between the improvement needs that we've identified must be correlated to what's in the land use element, so the anticipated development of the city, and it must serve that development well. And it identifies improvements. This is another kind of spin-off of the circulation element and something we're under contract to finish right now as well. We have these in draft form, is updating the capital improvement program for transportation and the development impact fees. Those are critically important right now. That'll be a subject for another meeting, but with the lack of, you know, CEQA mitigation used to generate quite a bit of local transportation improvements that would mitigate the impacts of traffic from new development. But with CEQA moving from level of service to VMT, that mechanism is lost. And so I'll bring that back for another presentation, I'm sure, but the role of impact fees really is heightened in this new VMT CEQA world. So why update now? Well, the VMT is one of those issues. We need to have policies in the circulation element that shift the primary transportation impact criteria from level of service to VMT, and that's in accordance with state law, SB 743, passed, I believe, 2016, but went into effect this last July, July 1st, 2020. So it's good that we're catching up. And by the way, you're not behind the ball there. Most agencies are exactly where you are, if not further behind. So really nice to see that crossing the finish line here in the city of Arroyo Grande. The Complete Streets Act, AB 1358, I'm going in reverse order here, but that also requires, so since your last circulation element was adopted, that has required some new multimodal policies to be included in circulation elements. So this is a great opportunity, you know, planning best practices notwithstanding, to include it just for conformance with this legislation. We need policies to support decision making. This is something we've heard from staff a lot, is that, you know, we're really lacking a document that helps inform, you know, what should be the right-of-way dedication, what should a developer build if they're going in, you know, what is the cross section, you know, what is a modern cross section. So this will help city staff to make those decisions and help guide investments and help guide the development review process as well. So we've completed the existing conditions background report. I believe you've all likely seen that. That's been published online for some time. And along with that, what we did is we also published the prior planning maps that had been completed. And we got a ton of comments on that. And so from that information, from the input we received, we've now completed the draft circulation element. We've also completed the multimodal transportation impact study guidelines. Happy to answer any more questions on that if you have any, but essentially we're moving away from just level of service. We're keeping level of service to inform the development review process, but it's not in CEQA. CEQA primary metric will be VMT, and then we're also adding some multimodal analysis procedures into the impact study process, which is level of traffic stress, as well as a safety review, a heightened kind of elevated role of traffic safety, multimodal safety. So we completed those two documents, and then our partners, SWCA, were able to circulate the mitigated negative declaration, the MND, yesterday. So that's going out for 30-day public review. Once we get feedback and input from that, we will finalize that and publish a response to comments and make any amendments that might be necessary in response to that. So that will kind of close out the circulation element timeline. Then the circulation study is also ongoing, and that is also in draft form. That is the capital improvement program driven largely by the improvements identified in the circulation element. So these things kind of feed into each other sequentially. And then the transportation impact fee is again based on both of those documents. And that is where we will be looking at what a defensible impact fee will be for new development in the future, such that they continue to pay their fair share towards the infrastructure that is needed to support the added traffic and multimodal travel demand. So we looked at a lot of intersections, a lot of segments, pretty traditional things here that you're probably used to seeing. Some of you may already be familiar with level of traffic stress. That may be new to some others. We did introduce that in the background conditions report with the understanding that we wanted to keep that as a policy moving forward. We thought we better show what the existing conditions are as we understand them as well. So we included that. We included a thorough inventory of existing pedestrian transit infrastructure. We looked at transit routes, transit stops, and truck routes. So far more multimodal update than has been done in the past, and is a document that really forms the basis of things to come, the planning forward. As I mentioned earlier, we got a lot of public input, which was great. I've been working in the city for a long time, and at a public workshop, you never know. You could have a good night, you could have a quiet night. You don't know what kind of input you're gonna get. We used an online engagement strategy informed honestly by COVID, but something that we'll probably recommend using moving forward just because of the ease of access. People can access the tool whenever they want from the comfort of their home. We got a ton of comments, 73 comments online, fantastic stuff there. Really, if I were to summarize it, it reflected a zeal for more active transportation planning. Pedestrian and bicycle needs were front and center. Certainly there were some vehicular concerns as well, some thoughts about future development, but ped and bike, a lot of that. There were also many well-informed and lengthy emails received, email comments. We prepared a whole response to comment log, and we really took to heart a lot of the comments and input them. They were aligned with our philosophy and our motivation in creating this update. And so there was nothing I found in reviewing them that really conflicted with our vision. So that's always great to see. Then I'll provide a kind of high level overview of some of the policies. I've got three slides here and I'll breeze through them. Some of the key policies that we changed or added. One of them is that, you know, notwithstanding the move to VMT for CEQA, we want to maintain a level of service policy so that you have a general plan target, something to inform when infrastructure decisions are made, right? When, what triggers the improvement need? This is important for the fee study and for other purposes. So, but we moved that from level of service C to level of service D. And that's a trend that's pretty common now statewide. You'll even see some agencies with level of service E or F acceptable in some locations where there's really a constrained condition. And level of service D still provides really good operations for most of the day, but during those peak hours, you're approaching some congestion, but it's an acknowledgement that that's okay to live with rather than kind of over-designing for the majority of the time, which is oftentimes the result of striving for level of service C. We added a level of traffic stress policy, and that's one that will evolve over time. So one of the policies we included as a sub-bullet to that is that we encourage the city to engage in some safe routes to school planning, where some more strict LTS policies can be crafted that serve the neighborhood schools and the mobility to and from them. Similarly, we also defer to an active transportation plan, which we highly recommend. In fact, it will be necessary to seek grant funding in the future. And that active transportation plan itself may identify some key corridors that need to be upgraded from kind of the standard blanket LTS policy that we developed to really form a low stress bicycle and pedestrian network. And so that will be kind of an override over that policy, and the policy is supportive of those overrides. We add in policies that encourage intersection control evaluation. So looking at options rather than going to a traffic signal or stop sign by default, looking at roundabouts and that may emerge over the next coming years in the interim until you update this document again, adding in that flexibility that allows you to look at more forward-thinking designs that we may not even be thinking of right now. Some of those that are a little bit newer are like protected intersections. And so we're building in that flexibility into the circulation element. We added the VMT policy, and that's really documented and fleshed out in the transportation impact study guidelines and will be somewhat dealt with separately in terms of formal baselines and thresholds outside the circulation element, as we understand that that's a threshold that could evolve over years as well. And it would be something that we want to build flexibility into as new models emerge and things like that, so that you can respond to those without going through a circulation element amendment process. We also included a policy to update the local roadway safety plan so that you can continue to receive or at least seek highway safety improvement program funds. We strengthened the neighborhood traffic management. We looked at parking policies and adding in flexibility there as well. We updated a lot of the multimodal improvements beyond the bicycle and trails master plan. We looked at class four. This is a new facility type. Or at least it was really on the cutting edge in 2012. It's relatively well established now. Some of your neighboring agencies have looked at those and deployed them. So that's exciting to see that adopted in this plan, hopefully. We looked at some mid-block pedestrian crossing locations where those could make sense, and also added in a policy to close sidewalk gaps. And most importantly, that last bullet is we really encourage the city to start seeking funds to prepare an active transportation plan. The plan itself can be grant funded as well. We included improvement maps, more detailed maps. I think the past maps we saw had all the improvements on one map. We separated them out by mode, so they were a little bit easier to digest. There's a lot of layers now. We updated the roadway functional classifications, new cross sections. Those will need to be formalized in an update to the engineering standards. We also added policies to reserve right-of-way and setbacks for future roadways. And essentially, if you're looking at where you need right-of-way either for a street or multimodal improvements, you have mechanisms now in place that you can start planning for that as opportunities arise in the future. and we updated the list of major circulation improvements. Here are the maps. You can see these black lines are what we're calling these study areas. These are areas that will require additional evaluation kind of beyond the circulation element, beyond the scope of what we're able to do in this plan. One that did come up as a question is East Grand, and I just want to point out that we did not forget about it. It has this master plan study review area kind of overlay, this pink, but for simplicity's sake, one comment we got was just make that a study area as well, so it looks consistent. But we tried to, what we tried to do here is make sure that all the areas that we've been made aware of over the years working with the city are thought of so that we're not hamstrung by what we can come up with in the circulation element. They require additional study. These are important corridors. And so the map reflects that. This is our bicycle facility improvements map. This is largely consistent with the 2012 trails master plan, bicycle and trails master plan. The only place where we really deviate from that is where we've updated the roadway classifications. We called out certain roadway types that would require class two or even consideration of class four. We called out certain roadway types that would need at least a class three bike route. And so where those were inconsistent with the 2012 plan, we upgraded those facilities on this map. But clearly this needs to be revised as well in a future update. But we feel like in the interim, this is a pretty comprehensive roadmap for bicycle transportation. And then the pedestrian and transit map includes a sidewalk gap. So that's the red lines here where there's a gap, a deficiency in existing sidewalk coverage. And then we looked at where your existing controlled crossings are. So those are crossings at an existing all-way stop or traffic signal or a roundabout. And those are the blue circles, and the red circles are areas where we recommend a new controlled crossing. And then we also propose some mid-block locations. Those could be either really mid-block in the middle of the segment, or they could be at a side street that is a stop control and you still need to get across the main road. So we included recommendations for those as well. All of these, of course, need, you know, warrant analysis. And so we build all those policies in there. You'll need to demonstrate the need for them when time comes to actually implement, but they're all logical locations from our perspective and are reflective of the public comment we received. So the next steps will be to complete the circulation study. And that's, again, the capital improvement program, transportation impact fee update. Those are critical. And then in the meantime, we will receive the comments back on the MND. We'll finalize the circulation element and prepare the final MND and then go to adoption hearings. And that's really it. And that is quite exciting to have such a short list. It's the shortest this list has ever been. Anyway, thank you again. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Todd, very much. This is the appropriate time, I think, for questions from the commissioners for staff. Mr. Guthrie, do you have a question at this point or comments that you would like to make on the draft element?
Well, I'll just ask a few questions here. I do first want to thank staff for meeting with me yesterday and answering a few of these, but and maybe they haven't got answers to these yet, but I did want to ask on the data on the average daily trips, there's a couple there that just look like they might actually be inverted, where if one was moved up a little, they would match up. It had to do with the Fair Oaks at Halcyon and Fair Oaks to Valley Road, those two in particular, but I wonder if you had a chance to review the data on the ADT numbers and confirm them.
Robin, I can take that if you want.
Go ahead, Todd.
Okay. We did confirm, thank you. And they are accurate, and those kind of follow my intuition that there would be higher volume east of Valley, closer to the high school. What could have happened, and we weren't able to dig back to the 2012 data that we compared to, but we can, and we will. Maybe those were flipped. Because you're right, there's a flip-flop of 8,000, 11,000, but we did confirm that the new counts of 2019 data that we're basing this on was accurate.
Okay. I appreciate that. I didn't think about it. The last ones were backwards, but seems like one of them is. Okay. Halcyon, and its list of intersections, Halcyon at Fair Oaks, and Fair Oaks is listed as an LOSD, and I'm assuming that's based on your comments that it's the high school that's driving that, just that one time of day. But Fair Oaks at Highway 101 is not an LOSD, which surprised me there, and I wonder if you have any thoughts on that, particularly in the morning, that is.
Thank you for that comment. And that's something that Robin and staff actually picked up on as well. The way we phrased that was a little confusing. We will revise that. We pointed out the LOSD locations because those would actually no longer be deficient in the city's new policy when you accept D. The other locations in that list are E or F. So they're worse. Yeah.
Okay. So it's
we'll make that clear.
All right. That now I understand that. And then again, I'd asked about on the trail maps, and I know that it doesn't sound like you say you revised them much, but two of the maps seem to indicate a trail on different sides of the creek on the between the trails map and the bicycle map. One looks like it's on, I'll call it the hospital side to be clear, that's the bike map, and then the trails map, I'll say, is a high school side. And that seems that the trails map is they're on different sides of the creek, and I don't know if that's intentional or if that was the way it's designed or if it's just the way it's drawn.
Okay.
I would just say try not to read too much into those lines. They are planning, we need to get from point A to point B. That's what we're acknowledging. I actually wasn't super involved in the 2012 study. It was prepared by OmniMeans, our predecessor company, and I can certainly call up Marty, who was instrumental in that plan's preparation. We'll go with the best location at the time, and I apologize, I don't have a better answer for you than that. The layer that I used was from the trails master plan, the shape file. So yeah, I'm not sure which location it's going to go to, but we just know we want to close that gap.
Okay.
Don't read a lot of stuff into the line work. It's, we know we want to get from point A to point B. The lines represent and give us a heads up as we're looking at development that's coming into the area. Once we get into design, the actual location of these trails and pedestrian paths will be defined. There may be constraints out there that we're not even aware of at this time that will force us to have to possibly shift it in one direction or the other or go around a different way. But the whole purpose would be to get from one end to the other.
Okay. And yeah, I just had another, I won't, the other one had to do with another trail, but I'll skip that. And those are actually my only questions that weren't answered yesterday. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Guthrie. Ken Say, do you have questions or comments for staff on this?
I have no questions, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Maravilia?
I have no questions, but I just want to commend staff on all the work that they put into this, as well as, Todd and your group as well. As I was reading it, I was thinking about how, going, is this feasible? But at the same time, I think this element needs to have things in it that is something to strive to. So I really appreciate that the way it built that in.
Very good, thank you. I just have a couple of comments. The first one is going to be kind of an inquiry slash response to the late edition we had on the public comments. There were two pages of, I think, an awful lot of good comments. I'm assuming they were more focused toward staffing and wording within the document. And I just remind staff to look at that. I realize we're close to the end of having this as a final document, but if there's something minor that might be helpful, I hope that things either clarified or modernized. I encourage you to try to look at those comments and incorporate them. the significant comment I have is, you know, recognizing that this really is a planning document. It's been kind of on my radar for a while. A couple of years ago, I did go to a planning event in San Luis Obispo that talked about the intersection improvements and traffic flow. I look at that Grand Avenue overpass at Highway 101, and obviously that's an issue with traffic and how smoothly that goes in and how impacted that gets from time to time. And I'm wondering about diverging diamonds as a design element in order to address that at that location. Diverging diamonds, I know, is a term that Robin Dickerson's familiar with. I'm assuming, Todd, you're probably familiar with that term as well. It's kind of a, for California and small town California, maybe too creative or too ambitious or too far out of the box in order to be able to pull it off. But I'd like to kind of throw it out there, because when I look at the traffic there on that overpass and both the on and off ramps going north and south, and they're not currently ideally aligned and stuff like that, if that can be looked at as a potential opportunity and maybe a way to handle traffic over that without having to widen the bridge and do any kind of other significant construction at that location. So I'm not expecting strong feedback or anything at this point, but as you're looking at intersection improvements and those things, and the Highway 1 is addressed within this document, I'd like to hope that the diverging diamonds is something that's at least looked at as a potential solution for the traffic, for the, you know, dealing with the Highway 101 traffic here through the middle of the town. Those are the comments that I have. Mr. Guthrie.
Yeah, if I could, just a point of order. Are we going to have comments? Are we going to have public comment? And then are
Absolutely.
We going to have comments after public comment? Because I do have some other comments as well.
Sure.
I'd rather wait till we hear from the public, but because I
may. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to get a lot of foundation and kind of a framework from the commissioners in order to lay that in and give the public an opportunity to hear some of our comments before that, you know, they're invited to, you know, chime in on this.
You know, okay. Absolutely. So if you'd like to go first, I do. You have a few specific comments.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll open it. I'm going to open it to the public at this point, and then allow any of the commissioners to come back and make any other comments at the very end.
Thank you. All right.
So at this point, I am opening this up to the public. Technically, it's not a public hearing item, but any item of this magnitude is warrants certainly allowing the public to chime in and make their comments. Ms. Reynolds-Ross, if you're still listening, I know that you have some comments you made earlier about this, the element, and I invite you to chime in again and raise your questions or make your comments at this time. Or if there's anyone else that is listening on Zoom, I'm going to have to defer to get staff thinking maybe to help me a little bit. But if you use the raise hand feature, I believe it's probably at the bottom of your screen, you'll be able to step in, and I encourage anyone that's out there who wishes to speak, now is your opportunity.
Yes, we have one member of the public that has raised their hand. If anyone else would like to speak, please raise your hand now. Sprint Aquatics, I'm allowing you to speak. Please unmute your mic.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak again. My name is Laurel Reynolds-Moss, and for whatever reason, my mom was never notified about all of this that's going on around her home across from the high school on Valley Road. And so my question is, when or how did you notify people that would be directly impacted by your proposals? Because looking at the plan that you have proposed, it, like I said before, and I don't want to repeat myself, but I feel, because I just found out about this on Friday, my mom had an accident yesterday, so I wasn't able to prepare better for it. How you know, did you come up with letting people know? And then, you know, it's going to directly affect our farmland, because it's the line that you guys are showing going from Valley Road to Fair Oaks Avenue, it would be going right by our well that we supply all of our water for our farmland. So my question is, you know, how did you notify people? And then what are we really talking about? Because, you know, this is something that is going to be devastating for our farming operation and the livelihood of my mom. She's 82 years old. She's a widow. And like I said before, my dad was on the city council. And so we kind of understand what's going on, but we never were notified. So can anybody address my concern on that? And then I will actively be involved in this process from now on. So I hope you won't get too tired of listening to me, but this is something that's very, very important for our family and our future of our farmland. Thank you. And I appreciate all that you guys have done.
Thank you very much for your comment. I'm going to defer to staff on this. I'm not sure whether there's additional comments. I'm just expecting that someone from staff will be reaching out to Ms. Reynolds Ross and her mother, directly outside of the meeting in order to confirm that her concerns and issues are really being addressed. Here again, this is a planning document. I don't think there are easements and other things that have occurred, taken place on this, but certainly her involvement and comments are going to be valuable to this. We need to confirm that she really is given the opportunity to participate. Are there any other comments? Any other hands raised out there?
Chair Martin, there were no additional comments.
Okay. I'm going to close the pub. I just heard something that, if I'm missing something, I'm going to close the public comments at this point in time. I'm going to return it back to the commission. Comments, questions you'd like to say at this time?
Yeah, well, I did think we'd have more public comment than that. Well, first I'll just ask staff, I recognize that there's not generally notice on the start of construction. I do know Castillo del Mar has been planned for, I think, ever since I was on council all the way back in 2006. But what is the public notice for this kind of a process for a general plan update? Affected by it, like the Reynolds would be affected by us putting a road through their property.
Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, but for the most part, we're looking for opportunities to connect circulation. Those lines on the map at this stage don't, outside of wanting that connection, it's not more than a want at this stage. If for some reason somebody in that family decided to sell their lots and some developer were to come in, we'd be looking for a road in that area. And this planning document allows us to fulfill that requirement. At this stage, we haven't acquired any land. We haven't talked to even property owners. So we don't know. All we know is if a development were to come in, and that's really the whole purpose of this document, is to allow us to condition future developments that come in to help fulfill the circulation requirements that are needed within the city boundary.
All right.
So this right now is nothing more than a line on a map for a future development. And unfortunately, fortunately, I spoke with Edith yesterday on the phone, but was very confused at what she was trying to get at and didn't realize that she was talking about the circulation element as opposed to the actual construction of Castillo del Mar. Okay. So I've got now a better understanding of what the issue is.
Which are two very, very distinct
yes.
Issues, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out there for the public. I understand that, but I'll just make it earlier. I think that is one of the problems with when we do a general plan update, we treat them as just lines, but the really truth is we're planning to do this. And we're not planning to do it tomorrow. We're not gonna take anybody's property, but areas of the city that might be affected, that might be specially affected, we probably should be making some better outreach effort because, as I say, having done this before, 10 years from now when we do this, we're going to say, well, we had a general plan process, but no, nobody knew. So you know, I understand staff's position, and you can't send notices to everybody in the city all the time, but sometimes when there's some specific areas that might be affected, it might be worth the courtesy of a special notice. So to get to my specific comments, the first one, and I did go over this with staff yesterday, I was a little bit concerned about seeing the 52-foot right-of-way for a local street. I mean, that's a big street, in my opinion, for a residential street. Over the years, I've seen lots of trouble with high speed in residential areas, and it's often caused by having a wide street. I live on a particularly wide street. It goes nowhere. It's just a circle, and people drive really fast on this street. So I understand that. I was thinking about changing the right of way, but I understand staff's position that somewhere down the road, we might want a wider street, and therefore we want to maintain the right of way. But it does seem to me that we could add language that we are going to, whatever the width of the street is, we're going to design the street with a design speed of 25 feet and put that right, or 25 miles per hour, and put that right in the general plan so that whatever efforts we have to go to make that happen, we can try to implement them at the time. I do personally think it's going to be difficult when you put together a 12-foot road or a 12-foot lane with a 6-foot bike lane and then parking, even with that, even if it was totally parked out, which it almost never is, just the perception of what's now a 18-foot lane is going to invite people to drive fast. But I would like to see some sort of language that says that a local street is a 25-mile-an-hour street. And it'd be great if we could get it narrow enough in most cases to actually be an enforceable 25 miles an hour with the traffic referees. We've seen this over the years that we have people driving fast on a road. We can't enforce 25 miles an hour because the road, I believe it's 32 feet, is over 32 feet wide. So therefore they can drive however fast the average person drives. So I'd like to ultimately see some sort of language along those lines. You've already dealt with my Grand Avenue question. So we have a section CT6 in which we identify that we're going to go out looking for funding for improvements. And I certainly understand that this is a planning document, and it is about planning for development in the future, but it's also related to our circulation. And I'd like to see an equivalent type language, and I know that's not usually done, that identifies that we're committed to funding the maintenance of this infrastructure as well. So a couple of pieces of that would be that the one we just put it in is very simple language, exactly like it says there, that we will be looking for agencies and funding opportunities, and in maybe even including debt service to maintain the roads that we have existing, and not just be out looking for funding for roundabouts and bike lanes and interchanges. So I'd like to see that there's that commitment right in our general plan. It might include something like part of the report that gives some assessment of where we currently stand, so that we're always paying attention and that our constitution says that we will. It might include that we include estimates that when we take on new, that we build new roads and that we take responsibility for them, that we know what the maintenance is going to be, that we have a little report that right up front says that when this development is finished, we're going to have this additional maintenance over the years in order to maintain this street so that we can at least assess whether it's worth it or not. So some things like that, but at least the initial start of language that says that it's just as important to take care of our circulation as it is to build new circulation. Then I'll just say, and I made this clear in my comments before I was on the commissioner, I'm really hesitant about the interchange, new interchange that is, frankly, I believe intended to enable the annexation of some new property into the city. And that may very well be a great thing to do, but it really should happen the other way around. We should make the decision about the annexation rather than decide to do an interchange and then go see if the annexation can pay for part of it. I would also, related to that, would like to see that we have three separate items in that description. One is the Castillo extension that the Fair Oaks extension to Valley Road, and then the Castillo extension over the freeway to Trafficway, which is really the interchange. And then we have the interchange as a separate item. I'd like to see either a separate item, although I think we could simply change the Castillo extension over the freeway since that's covered by the interchange, and have a Castillo extension that ends at Highway 101 and is just hook wraps, and be sure that that's studied as well. I know technically it is, it could be, anything could be studied in the study, but I'd like to see us as committed to doing that, which would solve the Fair Oaks off-ramp and the Trafficway on-ramp problems without having to do an interchange. Actually, those are the rest of my comments were covered with staff yesterday. So I appreciate the extra time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Mr. Sage, Ms. Mirabili, any additional comments that you have at this point?
No, I do not.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I will say that there's at least one of the items that Commissioner Guthrie addressed that I would fully agree with, and that's the need to have the ongoing maintenance as a planned activity. And I would focus very heavily towards our sidewalks. As an individual who walks the community quite frequently, we are in bad shape with our sidewalks, and while we have plans to close gaps and more sidewalks, we apparently don't have a plan to maintain those that we have. So that would be one of those issues that Commissioner Guthrie brought up that I would fully support. Thank you.
Very good.
Can I ask just one more clarification? It actually was back with my questions. Sorry, sure. I apologize.
No problem.
Going back a few years, this was just called to my attention today that Rodeo Drive is identified as a collector, but Grace Lane is not. And I was wondering what the thinking there is. I know when we built Grace Lane, it was built to be the collector. It has nobody backs out onto that freeway or onto that freeway, backs out onto that street. It has houses only on one side. It has parking on one side. Everything about it was really designed to be a much more effective collector than Rodeo Drive, which has people backing out directly onto the street, is pretty wide. So I wonder if there's a thought there on why Grace Lane was not the collector and Rodeo Drive is.
You know, from my perspective, I would have to go back and look at what was done before. We would like to start with what's on the books before we start making wholesale changes. So, and that's something we could discuss with staff. I want to say it must be the way it's on the books right now. I mean, I know that's not a very satisfying answer, but Rodeo must be a collector and the other one must not, but certainly something we can take up and discuss.
Actually, I suspect that Grace Lane was not built in 2001. And in fact, I don't suspect it, I know it. So that's why it's not the collector. But
yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It also brings up the issue of why we have to modernize this, is that the things that happened within the city in the last 20 years that warrant us looking at designations and things just like this. This may be really minor in the big picture. Let's just make sure that if we're working with a planning document, we're working with as accurate and helpful and useful information as we possibly can. Grace Lane is one of those modern additions that we can make sure we get included in an accurate way. I'm going to defer back to staff, to Rob Fitzroy. Is there any other comments that you need from us? If there's no specific action, I don't need to be asking for a vote or anything along that line. I think we made some modest input and certainly given the public the opportunity to look at it again at this point. What are you expecting from us as a commission at this point?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, the conversation so far has been very helpful. We've taken notes and we'll go back. And I think some of the comments here have been very productive, as well as we'll go back and take a look at the comments that came in via email as well. The the later breaking correspondence. But as far as any further action tonight, it's literally just a, you know, more or less a discussion and consideration of the latest and provide staff any feedback. And I think we've got that. So if there's no additional comment, I think we have everything we need at this point. We'll go back and continue to fine tune it. From here, we'll also see what comments come in over the next 30 days on the MND. We'll make changes and as needed. And you know, as it is now, we'll bring back a final version for the commission's consideration. And like I had mentioned in the beginning, in June, for a final recommendation, actually to the council, and that'll be a more formal action.
Very good. Thank you very much. And my last encouragement to the public is please take every effort you can to look at this draft circulation element, as well as the MND that has just been published. And don't wait to get back to staff. It's much easier to handle and respond to earlier comments rather than, you know, last minute comments on making any kind of changes or adjustments. But I'm looking forward to seeing this element again in June, and we'll just take it from there. With that said, we can move on to item 10, a notice of administrative decisions since our last meeting. And I see that there are none. And as we wind down the meeting here tonight, are there any communications from my fellow commissioners that they would like to make before we close the meeting? Ms. Maravilla, do you have any closing comments you have for tonight? None. Mr. Sage?
No.
And then Mr. Guthrie, do you have anything that you would like to add or say at this point?
No additional.
Very good. Nor do I. Staff communication, Mr. Fitzroy?
No additional items to add.
Very good. With that, it's been a very pretty clean and easy meeting for us tonight. Thank you to the public, any of you that are still sitting out there listening, and we appreciate it in these tough times. Let me make another question at this point back to staff. As time passes, is there discussion or any kind of time frame when these Zoom webinars will end and in-person meetings might resume? I know that I'm vaccinated. I may not be the only person here that is or isn't. There's some certain challenges along that way, but can you just give us a quick update on where the city council is sitting on this, or where the staff recommendations are going back to the light meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no hard date yet as to when that will happen. It's being closely monitored right now, particularly as the numbers continue to decrease and folks continue to get more and more vaccines and things improve. The target at this point is really we're monitoring the tiers. So as the tiers go down, the state eases some of the restrictions. And so we're keeping a close eye on going into the next lowest tier, which I believe was the orange tier. And that opens up some flexibility, and maybe there's some opportunities there. As far as the timing goes, it's hard to know when we'll actually get into that. So I don't have no one has a concrete, even in speaking with the city manager just earlier today, we don't have a concrete date of when that will happen, but we are gearing up for it. And we do anticipate that may be an option over the coming months, really, is what we hope to see happen. And so stay tuned, and we'll continue as soon as we do know more, but that's kind of where we're at. We're just in a wait and see, and closely monitoring it, but also gearing up for when that does happen and remaining hopeful.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much. And with that, on that note, this meeting at 6:03 p.m. It says 6:03. That doesn't sound right to me on my screen here. My time is probably wrong. Maybe it's 7:04. This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.